Morning to you. My name is Sten, and I'm the pastor here, and we're really so glad that you could be here with us. If you're new this morning, we're really glad that you could be here. And what you may not necessarily know if you are new with us today is that we are really still pretty new as a church, right? Not even 3 years old yet. And one of the things that that means is that we don't own a building, right? This building is not ours. We just rent it every single Sunday morning. And so what you may also not have known until just a few moments ago is that it actually takes a whole team of people to create the place that we do call home and to create this experience and this environment that we're all a part of every single Sunday morning. And there's really one reason why we do all of that. I mean, there's really one reason why so many people here at Midcurrent wake up early and unload trailers in the dark and in the cold and in the snow. There's one reason why we straighten chairs and hang lights and hang TVs. One reason why we make endless cups of coffee and build classroom walls and throw carpets downstairs and hang out with all the kids here on a Sunday morning. There is really one reason why we do all of it. It's because there are so many of us here who want more than anything for there to be a place every single Sunday here in the St. Croix Valley where real people and a real God can meet. Real, everyday, ordinary people just like you and just like me to have a chance to connect to the heart of a very real God. And so if you're new with us, we just wanted you to know that that's a little bit of what we're all about, a place every week where real people can meet a very real God. And we thought it might be fun for you to see a lot of the things that nobody sees on a Sunday morning that results in the things, you know, that create this experience that we're a part of. And if you are one of those people doing so many of those things that nobody sees, we just wanted to take a moment publicly here this morning to say thank you to you for what you do. We see what you do. God sees what you do. And we just want to thank you for continuing to do the work that we believe that God has started here. Our prayer as a church is that we would always be open, that we would be people who would be open to the ways that God is at work and that would be ready and that we would be willing and that we would be always watching for where it is that we can be a part of it. And this morning, I actually happen to believe that God wants to be at work here in this room with us. And so I'm just going to pause for a brief word of prayer before we move on this morning. Will you just say a word of prayer with me? God, we do give you thanks for what is happening here. God, we give you thanks for the work that you started here and for the many, many people who have picked up that work and who have kind of carried the torch and who have picked up on the things that you began here long ago. God, we knew that this church was your idea long before it was any of our ideas. And so we just give you thanks for what it is you're doing, God, for the trail that you're blazing. And we give you thanks for the place that you are creating here on a Sunday morning. God, it is our prayer that no matter who walks in these doors, God, no matter what life has been like for them, no matter if it's been up or down, no matter if they've been a part a church or never set foot in a church before, God, we're praying that this space every Sunday, but God, we're praying this space here right now would be a place where we can connect to your heart in very real ways, God. So we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your unimaginable love for us, and we pray these things in your name here this morning. Amen. Hey, well, we are in the second week of a short little series that we have just called Guest versus Host. If you really boil it down, I think there are two basic kinds of people in every single church. There are guests and there are hosts, right? There are people who might say, hey, I'm new to church. And then there are people who might say, hey, this is my church, right? And truthfully, I pray that we always have both of these people every single Sunday, every single year, sitting in our seats, right? I hope that's true, that we always have guests and hosts. But in a new church like ours, sometimes it can be a little bit hard to know who's who, okay? Who exactly is the guest around here and who's the host, right? Is that you? Is that me? I don't exactly know, right? Because we're all so new. And sometimes that uncertainty can create just a tiny bit of a barrier, right? To the hospitality that we hope would just be permeating every bit of this space here on a Sunday morning. And the truth is, it's not because anyone's unfriendly, that maybe that element of hospitality doesn't pop as often as we might hope it would. It's not because anyone's unfriendly. It's just because we're maybe all just a little bit unsure. Who's the host? Who's the guest? Is that you? Is that me? Who's who? And so that's really what inspired this two-week series. For those of you that have spent some time around here in this place for the last year or the last 2 years, maybe this is just meant to be, this morning, this two-week series, just meant to be a little moment for us to kind of recalibrate and to refocus as we move forward into a new year together. And if you are brand new this morning, I'm very, very, very glad that you could be here. The good news for you is that today you just get to sit back and relax. Right, you just get a front row seat as we take a little two or so year time out, right, to talk as a church about what it means to be a host and what it means to be a guest, both in this church and truthfully out in the world even, in the lives we live too, because I think this guest-host mentality that I've been kind of playing with a little bit over the last 2 weeks, I think that same mentality can play out even in just our everyday lives as well. And so that's been the goal, for us to talk about hosts and guests. Last week, we started by talking about guests, and so I just want to bring you up to speed to make sure we're all on the same page. We started talking about guests last week, people who are new to church, maybe people who are new to this church, or maybe people who are just really, truly kicking the tires of this thing that we call Christianity. What we did last week is we read through a letter from one of the very first church leaders when the very first churches were beginning to form in the first century world. And this church leader is known, he's a guy that we refer to as the Apostle Paul, right? His name was Paul, and he wrote to some Christians in the city of Corinth with some instructions for them. He was writing to them with some instructions for how they should go about their kind of large group gatherings of worship, kind of just like we're doing here this morning. And the heart of his message that we read about last week, the heart of his message to these Christians in the city of Corinth was to say, hey, make sure that you speak and that you sing and that you pray and that you worship God in a way that all people can understand. Okay? That was his message. And his instructions to them, his instructions to these Christians in Corinth were inspired by the presence of guests among them that he knew would be with them when they gathered like this. His instructions were inspired by the guests among them, people who didn't quite understand maybe exactly what this whole church thing was a part of or what this Christianity thing was all about yet. The original language of the Bible, it was the Greek language in the New Testament, the original language referred to these people as inquirers, okay? It was people who weren't totally in yet. What were they doing? They were just inquiring as to what this whole deal was about. And so Paul's point to these Christians in Corinth when it came to these inquirers or these guests, he was trying to say, hey, when these people come and they sit in church with you, and if nothing makes sense to them, right, if the whole deal is just a foreign language, they'll think Christians are crazy. Okay? And they'll either, tune out or they'll walk out and they'll never come back. And that's really too bad, right? That's what he's saying. And that's what I'm saying. That's too bad. Not because that means attendance won't grow and, right, that numbers won't get larger, right? But it's too bad because that means that they'll never get a chance to hear clearly and to understand and to respond to the God who loved them so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty, the steep penalty that we deserved to pay. And so Paul, he makes his point very clear. We read this last week. He says, when I'm in church, here's what he says. He says that he would rather speak five plain, simple words that everyone understands, that are helpful, that are encouraging, that are comforting to everyone, rather than 10,000 of the most eloquent and impressive words that no one understands really what they mean. And so my encouragement to us last week as a church and really as individuals who want to be kind of spirit-led people, my encouragement for us was to understand that sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do is to speak to or to make space for the least spiritual person in the room. But I think that's at the heart of what Paul was trying to say, to speak to make space for the least spiritual person in the room, the guests, the inquirers, among us, okay? That's why we do what we do, how we do it, why we do it every single Sunday. For the guest, right? For those who maybe are not yet into this spiritual stuff like some of the rest of us are. And I don't say least spiritual here as an insult, right? That's some kind of knock on anybody. But it's just as recognition that we get it, that for some people, all of this whole deal, it will be new. It will be unfamiliar, right? That there will be guests among us. We recognize that, and we are actually hoping every Sunday that there will be guests among us. And as a church, we said this last week, that we want to be guest-obsessed, right? In everything we do, we do it with guests, with inquirers in mind. I work with our whole team, right, that works with us here to ensure that every word, you know, every prayer, every song, every Facebook post is communicated in a way that engages, right, that strengthens, that is helpful to everyone who hears it, not just to the select few that can kind of understand it or decipher it or decode it. Why? Well, why am I so adamant about that? Because the message that I want people in our community to hear from us is this: be our guest. Be our guest, right? We've been expecting you, right? And in fact, we've designed this place with you in mind. The doors are open, the lights are on, the coffee's hot, the band's warmed up, my jokes will be pre-rehearsed so you only get the best, right? We're ready for you, so just come and be our guest. This really is one of the driving forces at work in everything that we do. Our heart to send that message: be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Okay, that is one of the driving forces at work in everything we do. But in all honesty, if I can just speak honestly with you today, it's also a potentially dangerous force at work as well. It's one of the driving forces behind what we do, but it's also a potentially dangerous force at work as well. The dangerous thing about sending this message every Sunday: hey, be our guest, we've got you covered, just come in, hey, we've got it all taken care of. The dangerous thing about sending that message every week is when people who are maybe not necessarily guests any longer take you up on it. Right? More and more recently, I've noticed that there are some spiritual practices and there are some spiritual disciplines of real serious Jesus followers that are being almost sabotaged in a way by strategies in church that were designed for guests. Okay? For example, this is just maybe a big one that I'm, you know, chewing off here today. For example, a lot of churches today are streaming their services live, you know, online, online church platforms. And to be very clear, I actually don't have a problem with that. I mean, a lot of people might say like, you can't have church on a computer screen. I actually love it. I'm hoping someday we would have similar live stream or video options available. Here's why: because it's a brilliant strategy designed for guests, okay? Designed for inquirers, designed for people who are just checking this thing out, designed for people who are not quite yet ready to set foot inside of a church, right? Because studies show that long before a person walks through the doors of a church, if this is a new thing for them, they've done some serious Facebook stalking, okay? You all know you did that before you walked into this place. Everyone does. Okay? They read the website, they check out all the pictures that you put online, they scan social media channels, they check out any video that you have put out there, all to get a sense of who are these people? What do they do? What do they look like? What do they talk like? What happens inside of those four walls, right? So they want to know. And I think that's great that they have that option, because walking into the church can be intimidating today. But here's what I see then all the time, right? Because I know a lot of people who attend some great churches with these streaming options. Here's what happens. Like clockwork, on Sunday morning, my Sunday morning Instagram feed is full of mature Jesus followers watching church online on the couch, right? Like they're posting their feed up like slippers and Jesus, right? You know, church in my PJs, you know, online church hair, don't care, right? I see it all the time, okay? And I'm being real serious here. I'm not trying to come down on anyone. I'm really not. not in any way. But here's what I think. I just think that for real serious Jesus followers, and for everybody really, I think there's something special about showing up, about you showing up. We're better with you here, right? It's a spiritual practice, showing up, that I think God blesses. And so what's happening, whether people realize it or not, and I know I'm like, you know, I'm probably making so many people upset here. What's happening, whether people understand it or not, is this spiritual practice of showing up that's ultimately good for us, good for you, good for others. It's being sabotaged by a strategy that was not designed for them. It was designed for a guest, for someone who was not quite ready to step into the doors of a church, right? Most often, I can't say 100% sure, but most often churches aren't streaming their Sunday morning service because they're like, oh, you know, we know that the 10:30 service is hard to wake up for, so we got, you know. They're most likely they're not streaming their services because they're going, hey, you know, you maybe stayed out too late last night. Is it most often that they're doing this as a way to engage with potential guests? People who are not quite yet ready to set foot inside the church, right? It's a strategy designed for guests. And there's many of these, right? This can be said throughout so many different parts of the church. For example, we haven't really always made like big, huge, mass pleas for more volunteers here. Not because we don't need and want more of you to be joining in the work with us, but because we want to make sure that when our guests walk through the door, that's not like, they don't feel like they got to sign up, right, just to walk in the door. We don't be like handing them a clipboard the first time. Here, you sign up. It's right here, right? We try to be mindful of this, right? We're trying to be careful about how we talk about money and offerings, and we made a conscious decision not to pass offering baskets up and down the rows, not because we don't think it's a good practice to develop this kind of generosity, not because we don't want your partnership with us to impact more lives in this community, but because we're trying to be mindful of the fact that we don't want our guests to walk in here and think that's the only thing that we care about is money. Do you see what I'm saying here? That the danger in being guest obsessed like we are and like we always will be is that we run the risk of making it too easy to remain a guest for too long, when the reality is that God really has something better in mind. God has something better in mind for us, and God has something better in mind for you that is for your own good, actually, as we'll see. And so that's a little bit what I want to talk about today. That this man known as the Apostle Paul, whose letter we read last week, he alludes to what it is, maybe what it is that God wants for us. He alludes to it in yet another letter, this time to a church in Rome, to Christians in Rome, that I want us to read today to see what it is that God might want for us the most. So here it is, Paul's writing to Christians in Rome, and we're going to read from chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Here's what he says. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies," meaning to give of yourselves, right? Physically, give of yourselves to God because of all that he has done for you. Let yourself be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This, he says, is truly the way to worship. That's it, right? So what do we learn then on the flip side? That worship isn't something, you know, that we receive. Worship isn't coming to church to receive something, to sit through something, right? To experience something, right? That our real worship to God is to use our everyday lives and our everyday selves to give something back to God. Right? To let your life, to let my life be a sacrifice for something greater than you, greater than us. And so Paul continues, if you want this to be true of you, then here's what you gotta do. Verse 2, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, what's he saying here? Paul's saying, don't just do the things the way that everybody else does things. Okay, so I started thinking about that, right? Last week, as James welcomed us into church, he reminded us that one of the more popular ways of kind of doing things today is one of the patterns and customs and behaviors that we see more commonly today is to do things my way, right? It's kind of like the Burger King mentality. Have it your way, right? That's one of the major mindsets, behaviors, customs, patterns of people today, right? At work, I want it my way, right? In my relationships, I want it my way, right? In my marriage, I want it my way. And maybe even in church, I want it my way. And so Paul's saying, hey, don't just do things like everybody else does things. He's saying what's most honorable and what's most accepting in God's eyes is to change the way that we think so that it would ultimately change the way that we live. To change the way that we think, in this case, so that it's no longer about what we get, because that's what everybody's out for, but to change the way we think so that it's no longer about what we get, but about how we give of ourselves to God as a way of discovering God's perfect plan for us. Who doesn't want to know that? Okay, so what does that actually look like? Skip down to verse 6. Here's what he continues to write. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Then verse 7, maybe some gifts that maybe feel a little more common or familiar to you. He says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, this is different to me. What he's suggesting here, if you got it, do it for others. This is different than the have it my way mentality. It's different. I think this is the mentality that he's describing here of what I would call a host. If God gave it to you, find a way to give it back to someone else. If you can lead, lead. If you can teach, teach. If you can show kindness, do it. It's the mentality of any good host, which I think, as we read here, it can be summarized like this. It's making available to others what God has made available to you. I think that's a great definition of what it means to be a host. Making available to others what God has made available to you. That's a host in church or in life. But if we have a guest mentality that we maybe have not moved beyond yet, then what do we do, right? As a guest in life, as a guest in relationships, as a guest in the places that we, you know, go every day, right? That we look to be served, to be led, to be taught, to be provided for, to be taken care of, to be shown kindness, okay? And there is a time for that. Trust me, there is a time for that all of us need in our life, that some of us need right now as you walked in the doors of this church. And if that's what you need right now, to be taught, to be encouraged, to be led, if that's what you need right now, let me remind you of what we are saying to you here. Be our guest, honestly, be our guest. And yet for so many others of us at the same point, and it's very different for everyone, our hope is that more and more people would eventually start to think less like a guest around here and more like a host, right? Our hope is that at some point, maybe for some of you that's after a week, maybe for some it's after a year, or maybe for some it's longer than that even, but our hope is that at some point Midcurrent wouldn't just be a church, but you said, no, Midcurrent is my church, right? And that beyond church, even in your own personal life, you'd slowly begin to make this mental shift, this changing of the way that you think from being on the receiving end of something always to being on the giving end of something. And our hope is that slight change in the way that you think would start to change the way that you live. And that it would have a way of God revealing to you his good and perfect plans for you. Now, let me be clear here that I do hope that church, right, that this church would always be a place, no matter who you are. My hope is that it would always be a place where you do receive something that is good for you or comforting or encouraging for you and for your soul. But in general, I think God's desired movement for us is this movement from guest to host, from receiving to contributing, right? From getting to giving. Jesus himself modeled this for us incredibly. When he came, when he said, I came not to be served, right? This is God's own son, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, all the titles that he's got. He says, hey, I didn't come to be served, but to serve others, to actually give my life, he says, for the many. Right? To follow that example is going to certainly require a change in the way that we think. But I think it actually transforms us to be the people that God desires that we would be, which is what Paul is talking about. And in this case, I think that the changing the way we think is all about, right, changing the way we think with what it is that we have. Right? God has given us each a gift. I hope you know that God has given you a gift that he intended that you and that we put to use for the sake of others around us. That's what it means to make the change, right? To being a host in church or to being a host in your everyday life, to being a host, in your family, in your workplace, right? Being willing and being ready, to make available to someone else what has been made available, what God made available to you. I think it is the most loving thing to do. It is the thing that expresses our worship to God more than anything else, right? To be other-oriented, constantly other-oriented. See, I think we can use our gifts in one of two different ways, right? We can use our gifts to be, me-oriented, or we can be other-oriented in everything we do. And in a church like this, that small change from me-oriented to other-oriented, that small change could make a massive, massive difference in what it is that takes place here. There's a well-known pastor and theologian. Maybe you recognize his name. His name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said something that I came across this week that I think relates to all this that caught my attention. Here's what he says. He says, the person who is in love with their vision of community destroys community. But the person who loves people around them will create community wherever they go. Right? The person who is in love with their vision of community destroys community, but the person who loves people around them will create community wherever they go. Do you see the difference in that? The difference about something that everybody would agree is a really good thing, right? I think one is the mentality of a guest who has stayed a guest for far too long, saying, hey, I've identified that there is something that would be good, so I'm gonna need you to provide that for me. Here's the way that I would like it to play out. I think the other is the mentality of someone who's thinking more like a host, right? Who I recognize the very same good and said, hey, you know what? In his grace, God has been good to me. And so here's what I can do for you. Here's what I can do for you. What is it that you need me to do for you? And I just wonder what our world would look like. I wonder what this church would look like too if more of us had that kind of mentality. Hey, what can I do for you? What could I create for you? Because God has been so good to me. I wonder what our relationships would look like if we shifted from being a guest in our own relationships to saying, hey, if we made a shift from saying, hey, here's what I'm going to need you to do for me in this relationship. What if we made a shift and instead asked, what is it that I can do for you? What can I do for you in this relationship? I wonder what our marriages would look like if we stopped insisting that the other fulfill our vision of the marriage that we always dreamed of. And instead we ask ourselves, hey, how can I create the marriage that both of us will find fulfilling? What if both spouses came to the center with thinking like that? What can I do to create the vision of the marriage that we will find most fulfilling? I wonder what our workplaces and our businesses would look like if we stopped expecting others, someone else, we stopped expecting our boss or our coworkers to create the kind of team or to create the kind of environment or to create the kind of culture that we wanted to work in, and instead we ask, hey, you know what? God has gifted me. God has been good to me. So what can I do to create the kind of environment or the kind of team or the kind of culture where all of us will thrive? And when it comes to churches today, and when it comes to this church, in particular, I wonder what it would look like when the time is right for each of us, when the time is right for you to show up here week in and week out asking not what can Midcurrent, what can these people do for me, but what can I do for them? What could I do for Midcurrent? And more importantly, what can I do for God and for the people that he wants to be meeting here in this place? What if we showed up every week asking ourselves, because of the gifts that God has given to me, I wonder who it is that needs to be served. I wonder who it is that needs to be welcomed, who it is that needs to be taught, who it is that needs to be led, who it is that needs to be encouraged, who it is that needs to be comforted, who it is that needs to be shown kindness, maybe at a time they needed it the most. What if that was more and more of the mentality that we all had? This is not necessarily an invitation for you to do more, to sign up for more, right? To commit to more, to fill your calendar with more. It's just an invitation for you to change the way that you think so that the next time you walk through these doors, you might begin to change what it is that you do, to change the way that you live. Okay? It's a reminder to us all that church isn't just a place that we go, but that we are the church and we exist to make available to others what God in his good grace has made available to us. Okay, that's what being a host is all about. And we are hoping and praying that more and more of you would join us along the way, both in this church and in the world and in the places where you have influence every single day. Okay, the truth is there's no timeline. There's no written test. There's no graduation ceremony, right? For, you know, where you are officially deemed, you know, a host at Midcurrent Church. It's just a decision for you to make. When you're ready to change the way that you think so that you could be transformed into the person that God designed you to be. Let me pray for us. God, we really are in awe that you ask us to partner with you in the things that you want to see taking place here in this world. God, what a privilege, what an honor it is to be asked to join in with you and the things that you want to see, to be asked to be joining into your purposes and your priorities here in this world, to create the good that so many people need to experience and to hear the good news that so many people need to hear. God, what an honor it is to be asked to join you in all of that. So God, I thank you for the ways that you have gifted each of us uniquely, for the ways that you have equipped us to effectively carry out the good that needs to be done. And I pray that more and more, God, both in this church, but in our lives too, God, I pray that you would help us to have the attitude that says, hey, if I've got something, how can I use it for someone else? God, I pray that in the church and in our lives and in the places we have influence every day, we would walk into more and more spaces with the mentality of a host that looks to say, hey, I want to make available to other people what it is that God in his good grace has made available to me. God, would you help us to do that? Would you help us to know when? Would you help us to know how? Would you help us to know where it is that we make this subtle change in the way that we think, so that it might change the way that we do what we do, and that it might be honoring to you and so good for those around us. God, we thank you for how good you are to us and for sending your son Jesus to this earth for us to pay the price that we deserved to pay, to be reunited with you once again. God, we're so grateful for that and for this morning, and we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.